Welcome back to Single Malt Sober. We took a little bit of a hiatus during the holiday season, but it's good to be back. Today I have Andrea with me again because she's lovely and she has a lot of opinions. And today we're gonna get into some conversation about sexuality and culture and mm-hmm. how things were really different from us growing up to how things are now. It's a good thing to explore. We're going to talk a little bit about wokeness, possibly. Just, we don't want to get too tentative. Even the thought right now is a little terrifying because we don't want to offend anybody.
Yes, agreed. it's a conversation. It's a dialogue.
Again, in pre-warning, do not want to offend anybody at all. Mm-hmm. These are just completely observations. Not even necessarily like aggressive opinions. Just kind of what we've observed lately.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tell me about your sexual experiences.
What the fuck?
Let's just start off on the back.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't think I'll do that, but I will start by saying, I guess, we were having a conversation, and this has been prompted by my taking a course in human development and sexuality soon. And one of my assignments, which I was telling Maya about, is to reflect on a time... basically reflect on the development of your sexuality from the perspectives of family, culture, etc. And my first reaction was, you want me to talk about my trauma and share it with my peers.
That is my nightmare.
Exactly. Yeah. So after refining, investigating, and kind of looking at it from different perspectives, I've now kind of thought about it from a different perspective. And I also thought it would be a cool conversation for the podcast. So my experience, if I'm kind of thinking about, well, how did my sexual identity become developed from, a young child? Well, I went to a Catholic elementary school. When it comes to like learning about sex and puberty and having those conversations, first and foremost, there wasn't many conversations. Like mm-hmm. I don't recall having a sex or puberty talk with my parents. And also like sexuality, intimacy, really like physical touching wasn't modeled to me. I never saw my parents kiss on the lips ever mm-hmm. that I can remember. And then we were presented with this lovely book called Fully Alive. And that is the gold standard for like Catholic schools, at least of my time. And from what I was telling you and I understand is that it's now been banned because of its binary old school approach to both sexuality and gender.
I can very much imagine that mm-hmm. this is very old school.
Yeah. So essentially, like from what I recall, what it looked like was, you know, John is having hair grow in places he didn't before, and Mary is now bleeding. And what is menstruation? What does that mean? And then when it was comes down to sex, it was very like, babies are made. Bye. Right? Like, that was what sex is. And then coming into high school, I don't remember. I was pretty high during high school, but I don't remember a conversation, which I think has changed today, about, like, you know, what are the different, what to look for to know that you're ready to have sex? What does consent look like?
I don't think we talked about that at
all. No.
We went to the same high school, by the way, and I don't think we ever had that conversation.
It was like, wear a condom, don't get an STD.
Yeah.
I think that's all they talked about.
It very much is like that high school experience that you see in movies.
Yes.
In that sense.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the gym teacher being like, wear a condom.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
The bare science of it.
The bare science of it. Yeah. Well, yeah, you got that in like bio, mm-hmm. bio 12. But
yeah.
That's because you were taking bio 12. No. Not because you were talking about sexual relations or any of it, really.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, so we have the school system and then we had family attitudes.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I grew up in a family that did not talk about sex. I didn't know what had happened when I got my period.
Really?
I didn't know what, like, so I will say my first sexual experience, I, like, kissed a boy in elementary school, but then from there, nothing other than an assault, which I wouldn't count, but...
No.
Actually, losing my virginity technically was an assault. I went from, like, making out. I lost my virginity in the same night at 14.
I'm so sorry.
Under the influence and had no idea, like, yeah, about consent. I didn't know. I didn't have any experience of, like, you know, that. You know, in movies where it's like, oh, first I made out and then over the pants petting.
Yeah,
and
no.
I didn't have that experience.
Well, like, you were raped.
I was raped, like,
yeah.
from the start. And... So I really went from hearing nothing about sex to being way beyond my depth and having no knowledge and being a child.
Completely.
Right? So that's very much has shaped my sexual identity. And that played out the way it did throughout my life. And I've obviously worked through that in therapy, but.
Well, I went to a Catholic church growing up.
Yeah.
And we probably went to the same church.
Probably.
And it was very much like it was. And then I tried to. One of the cool things to do when I was younger was to go to this like religious camp. Because it was the coolest camp on the island. And so it was like, I'll just suffer through the church.
This like Sunday school?
It was like Sunday school, but camp.
Oh, fun.
It was so it was very much like abstinence and induced and influenced. Mm-hmm. And I was like very scared to do anything.
Mm.
Again, because I have childhood trauma as well.
Yeah.
So letting people into my life romantically was always like a terrifying thing. I actually begged one of my guy friends to kiss me when I was 16 because I didn't want to. I was like, well, what if I die? And I'm 16 and I'm like, I don't know why I went so morbid on it. But I was like, everybody else is like so farther than me. And I'm like, can you just kiss me? So at least I've been kissed. Like it was so sad.
Wow. You just wanted like the safest person to get it over with. The safest
person to like get it over with. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I looked for like a safe person.
Yeah.
And I had my purity ring and all that stuff. Cause I was like, oh, wait for marriage. And then I read The Bell Jar.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, So I was definitely like lost my virginity like that summer.
Right.
Just again, someone very safe, someone very like caring and someone very sweet. And so I felt pretty safe in it. But I was like not a very like aggressively sexual like youth. Like I didn't really date in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously met up for it later in life.
Yeah.
But
that's so interesting though, because like we both have identified not being exposed to, like, an authentic or transparent conversation about sex. And then we had the religious aspect of purity.
Yeah.
And then trauma. I was very promiscuous.
Yeah, in high school.
Very early on. Oh, yes. And you
were the opposite.
And that's kind of usually the two ways it goes. Yeah. Either you become, like, sexually asexual.
Yeah.
Or promiscuous.
I was just scared.
Yeah.
I was just scared of ever letting anyone in. Because I'd been so hurt.
Yeah.
By somebody. And for like a long period of time.
Mm.
And so it really like, it really will shape how you trust people.
Totally.
And obviously diving into more therapy that I've gotten into finally, because I'm finally like going through all this sober as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, I have some serious trust issues, like to my very core.
Yeah.
Like in my every essence. Mm-hmm. And I trust people like on the street, like I have no problem trusting people with some things. But, like, not with that.
Right.
When it comes to, like, my heart or, like, soul or, like, letting someone in romantically, it is, like, I am, like, steel cage, like, like will not let you in. Mm-hmm. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
Even when I desperately want to, I, like, just don't even know how.
Yeah.
So.
I was talking about that with Jordan last night, which we can get into later, but.
I just don't even know how.
Yeah.
I'm, like, how do I go about something like that? And it's, like, again, from this perspective, and I, while I was going through, like, since my last breakdown, basically, too, I tried to change a lot of my old behaviors. So, like, not being as, like, sexually open and, like, you know, being more picky and all that stuff and, like, really focusing on myself. So, like, I haven't had sex in, like, 2.5 years.
Yeah. So, going the other way.
For me, it's, like, fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But I, again, I feel myself almost in high school where I'm, like, scared again.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Where I'm, like, oh, God, now I'm sober and now I, like, really want to trust somebody and I'm, like, I don't even know how.
Yeah.
So it feels like this weird, I feel like I've gone back a little bit where I'm, like, nervous again and I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
Which is probably, like, that's probably, like, your baseline state because
probably my baseline state. You said
you were in addiction when it was different.
Totally.
Yeah, so now that you don't have the...
I don't have that crutch.
Yeah,
I don't have that, like, I can just get drunk and, like, feel like it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I don't have that now because now I, like, really care.
Yeah.
So I'm, it's going to be a different kind of experience going back out there for sure.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, so I think sexuality is, like, very much changed. Now you're taking this sexuality course.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to look at this from, like, a different lens, right?
It is. And so that's kind of, like, where we were speaking before we started recording.
Yeah.
Of kind of the little, not little, large, but the intersection of sexuality and then kind of what's going on politically right now.
It is very political. Sexuality is very political. Sex has become
political. And so we have political opinions and thoughts around sex work, around abortion, around gender, around sexuality, around, holy shit, like everything.
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 Yeah.
Around body image, like everything is politicized now. And so I think it's been positive in that I think there's more transparency and openness in, like, educating kids earlier on.
Oh, it's a completely different world than we grew up in.
Totally. And parents, like, I would say millennial parents in, going forward are probably a lot more emotionally present and have it's those hard like conversations than boomers. It's kind of
ball game.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It's like a completely, we were kind of, like, left to our own devices in that respect. And now I feel like, especially with parents these days, are going to be much more like, oh my God, there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to be the ones to kind of like navigate and, you know, edit for their kids. Because there's so, I mean, we didn't even really grow up with the internet.
No.
Like, we did.
There was just this, like, this was biology, this was puberty, this is what you learn. There was no real different opinion about it.
Totally.
And now there's different opinions, now
there's a lot of opinions about it.
Yeah, and now, like, we were saying, like, now in schools around sex and puberty, there's folks who believe, like, that believe in gender not being binary and variants of sexuality and that that should be taught in schools. And then there's some people that are very traditional conservative who don't believe that.
Well, I mean, you're looking at the states right now. I was just talking to my mother about this at lunch where it's like, look at Texas.
Yeah.
Like they're going so far back.
Yeah.
It's like the Stone Age.
Yeah.
And I don't, and it's interesting. So I feel like there's kind of this like splice between people having absolutely no rights and then the aggressive wokeness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there is, it's really, really divergent right now.
Totally.
It's not in, you'd think things would be growing as a whole and really things are becoming more separate again.
Totally. Way more divisive.
Way more divisive.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. I don't even know where to start with the woke stuff. I feel like I'm very, I want to apologize to all the white men out there. Just in general, because I don't think you've all done anything wrong. I feel like you guys are getting really picked on.
Yeah.
And it's kind of not fair.
Yeah.
It isn't. I mean, there's like a lot. I think there's bad people in every avenue in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can be any heritage. You can be any race on the planet. And you're going to have bad people. You're going to have people, whether you're male or female.
Mm-hmm.
This is like not, you're going to have bad cops. You're going to have good cops. You're going to have good teachers. You're going to have bad teachers.
And I think what people forget is that yes, men have an advantage, and
but
we've all been socialized. We are all suffering from being socialized. Like men are socialized to be, you know, talk over women and, you know, do a lot of the masculine behaviors that they're persecuted for. But they're just as much part of a system of being socialized as women are.
Absolutely.
Right? So
completely.
They come by it honestly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as things are changing, and I think it's a great goal to unlearn systems of inequality, but I don't think the approach is to badger and crucify people.
I think people are being crucified.
People are being crucified.
That's what I don't like. I think it's mostly more about social awareness and realizing that other people have different kinds of struggles and just being acknowledging of things rather than pointing fingers and blaming. Mm-hmm. Most of these guys were not alive for most of the things that have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we can all hate the, like, 60-year-old white guys. I'm just kidding. but I feel like
I think we can be critical of people's behavior when they give us a reason to criticize their behavior.
I completely agree. And I think that's a person-to-person basis.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's obviously, like, trends across groups that need to be, like, we need to be aware that there are certain needs that women have that need to be taken into consideration. Like, you know, whatever. Maternity leave is like a female-specific thing, and that's a group-specific discussion.
Yeah.
And that's great. And there are, you know, male needs that are specific, and there's indigenous needs that are specific. And I think all that's great that we need to acknowledge those things, but it doesn't need to be, let's segregate all. It's almost going backwards into, like, civil rights. When we have blacks segregated and white segregated, we have indigenous groups And do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand. It feels like there's a lot more labels now than there ever have been. And I think it's interesting because I would look at things as like, oh, we should look at things as a, you know, from a holistic aspect. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're, again, as you said, segregating a little bit where you're looking at someone as this. So this must be your struggle. And I mean, you must be finding this a lot in your academic career this time around.
Yeah.
Because things are a little different than they were 10 years ago even.
Yeah.
So are you finding that in your classes? Where
I am. Yeah. So when I was in university before, environmentalism was really kind of
hot
at the time.
It was very hot.
It was very hot.
It was Inconvenient Truth. And yes. It was, everything was good. We were all recycling.
Yeah.
Things were a lot chiller.
Yeah. That was the biggest thing. I did take some psychology of sexuality course or something. And they started to talk about gender as different than sexuality. That conversation was beginning. Yeah, this was, I think, in like 2009, maybe.
Yeah.
But it wasn't quite the same. So, yeah. So now I'm like in a master's program, clinical counseling degree. And so a lot, primarily what we talk about aside from counseling, is social justice. And what that looks like is, and I think there's still good stuff. We're supposed to be critically looking at our biases of how everyone has a different lens that they view the world through.
Absolutely.
And those lenses are informed by various areas of intersection. And there's like 7 different areas. So financial, so like your economic status, your gender, how you present your gender, your sexuality, your race, culture, religion. There's so many layers, right?
Yeah.
And I think it would be ignorant and blind to say that all people have the same advantage in life. They don't. But I think kind of what we're talking about is looking at people at the level of the individual, of all the individual layers.
Absolutely.
And not kind of comparing or combating oppression, wounds.
Yeah.
Because what, in my opinion, what it seems to be doing is pit people against each other.
Yeah.
I think the most like binding thing that most people could agree with is like a common effort is economic disparity.
Absolutely.
They're unifying is the poor.
Yeah.
There are so many of us that can barely get by. And such a small percentage of, like, incredibly wealthy people.
Yeah.
And if we all looked around and realized, hey,
we're all in the same boat.
Why don't we, like, destabilize that system? We'd all be in the same boat.
Yeah.
But and it almost seems like, yeah, identity is it's like there's this pie and everyone wants a piece of that pie. And there's so much scarcity with resources and power.
Yeah.
And so how can you get a bigger piece of the pie but to take away someone else's piece of pie, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of how it feels.
I kind of agree with you in that respect. Yeah. Completely. I think it's definitely like, well, as you said, like looking around at people, like I was raised like in a very like liberal household. Mm-hmm. Like my mom traveled the world before she had us and like lived in Japan and lived in Africa and like lived all over the place, right? And so like, and I went to like a very liberal school, and so I probably didn't really, really realize how racist people were until I was like in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like obviously I knew like historically, but I didn't feel like it was happening around me.
Totally.
But maybe because I was like so in my own little like Victoria bubble.
Yeah.
We
do. We live in a very white place.
Yeah.
We don't even live in a metropolitan city, to be honest.
Yeah. So it was interesting. Like, I mean, most of my friends were like of mixed heritage. Like, as I was saying to you, like I'm Aboriginal as well. Mm-hmm. And, but it never really like came up or it was never like a thing where people were like, oh.
Yeah.
But now it kind of is. Now I have people kind of being like, oh, well, you know, it's not like what happened with residential schools. And they'll say that about other groups or something like that. And I'll just look at them and be like, well, it's okay. Like, do you know what I mean?
Who
like,
says these to you?
People.
How does this come up?
It just started coming up for me lately, okay. I feel like, because of, like, what has happened. And, like, and I love that things are being, like, acknowledged absolutely more. But, like, again, growing up, we weren't... I did feel a little bit... I'm not going to lie to you. I felt a little bit like I wanted to, like, hide that from people because there was so much racism against Aboriginal people.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really... wasn't very, like, outspoken about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't... because there was. And that's going to be... that's something I can talk about is, like,
how much I've witnessed of that and how I have friends that are very much like that. And I'm always like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. And my niece is like 3/4 Aboriginal. So I'm like, I'm starting to realize there is this like little protective Katniss Everdeen inside of me that's like, mm-hmm. I don't want her to go through that mm-hmm. and to feel that way. Yeah. Because people are, they're like, oh, those Indians. And you'll still fucking hear people say that shit. Oh, it still
very much is.
And I'm like, whoa. Yeah. So it's interesting. So there's so much I want for things to get like way better, but then I don't know if we're going about things in the right way.
That's, I think, the thing is it's the approach that maybe is ineffective. Maybe is it the
approach that's going ineffectively?
It's the approach, and in my opinion, it's a lack of nuance.
Okay.
People, I find that because you need to be in either camp. Either you're left woke or you're a right fascist.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of room for dialogue and nuance. And like, humanity and life and science and sociology is complex, right? There are psychological factors and biological, and it's just such a messy, most things are very messy, and I find that the conversations are often very black and white. It's either you're pro-abortion or you're against abortion.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in what I believe in, you're wrong, and I'm going to tell you all the reasons why.
Yeah.
And then if it's, around gender, sexuality, either you're homophobic or you are on board with absolutely no bounds of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just all gender, all sexuality, it's all free game. Like, and this is something kind of what we were talking about earlier is like, I think a complex topic in the area around gender and sexuality is around hormone treatments for transitioning as children.
Yeah.
That's a topic that requires like deep research and a lot of thought.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that should be a reactionary policy in response to wanting people to feel more inclusive.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's a big thing when kids that are 10 years old are making choices about their biology mm-hmm. and their fertility that will last forever and are irreparable. That's a big conversation.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of like opinions about that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I think that has to be something that's very much like parent based.
Mm, yeah.
Honestly, it's one of
but
those.
But it's not.
I know. Yeah. I know. I would look at it as like case by case situation rather than mm-hmm. like something that's like a global federal.
Totally. Aspect. And once again, it's like to the individual, right?
Absolutely.
Because I think there are certain people that like will, if they aren't able to transition to the body they feel is right for them, they probably kill themselves at 12.
Well, and the thing is though, is you look at people mm-hmm. that were like forbidden to transition before. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's scary as well. Because you don't want that to be, a factor again, where it's like people had to hide, surgeons mm-hmm. wouldn't even do it. People had to go down to Mexico. Like, it was very like, it was like hard to have done.
Right.
It was, I remember people having to like, before you had to have psych evaluations, you mm-hmm. had to have people dress in drag for a year mm-hmm. before they were allowed to have operations. Like, it was like stuff that was like really like, I don't know, kind of defamatory.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want that to be a thing now.
No.
So it's like, I understand. Yeah. It's so much. There's so
it's
much.
It's complex. That's
it's complex.
Thing.
Nothing is like, in life mm-hmm. is ever simple.
But anytime we want there to be social change, it usually takes the form of a government policy or a body, right? So it takes some sort of legal government form, which ends up being an overarching rule or process.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes away from being about the individual and becomes a general thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
interesting to see what we're going to experience in the next decade. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for being here tonight. I hope this was a little bit helpful, or at least, I don't know.
Interesting.
Thank you for listening to us rant. Have a great night, everyone. Bye.